we've heard so far from Philippians, before we get to chapter 2, the letter so far, it's from Paul and Timothy. And Paul writes that they are servants of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about Jesus and he says, Jesus humbled himself and became a servant, dying on the cross. Paul was in prison because he'd been telling people about Jesus and the good news. Okay? By the world's standards, by our standards, dying on a cross and being put in prison are pretty hopeless. We said at the beginning, you know, when we were worshipping, sometimes things externally look awful to us. They look like there's no hope. How ridiculous. Dying on a cross when you were meant to be saving the world and being thrown in prison when you're meant to be sharing Jesus with people. How hopeless is that? But Jesus' death on the cross meant that we can be forgiven and know God as our friend. And Paul said the imprisonment was actually a good thing because it gave him an opportunity to speak to the guards who he wouldn't have met otherwise. And other people, seeing the worst that could happen to Paul, had taken courage and were going out and talking to people about Jesus. So he said, that's a really good thing. And even those who were trying to stir up trouble and make it worse for Paul by talking about Jesus were actually sharing Jesus with people for all the wrong motives. But actually, God was using that for something fantastic. So if you are in a situation today where you think it looks like absolute abject failure, God is going to use that. He says that he uses all things for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So be brave and be encouraged this morning, even if things are tough. Paul wanted the Christians in Philippi to be brave, to continue to serve God and to get to know him better. So then weirdly, Paul starts telling us about his and his friends' travel plans. We are in Philippians 2. If the Lord is willing, I will send Timothy to see you soon. Then, when he comes back, he can cheer me up by telling me all about you and how you are getting along. There is no one like Timothy for having a real interest in you. Everyone else seems to be worrying about his own plans and not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy, he has been just like a son to me in helping preach the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. And I'm trusting the Lord that I myself may soon come to see you. Meanwhile, I thought I ought to send Epaphroditus back to you. You sent him to help me in my need. Well, he and I have been real brothers, working and battling side by side. Now I'm sending him home again, for he has been homesick for you all and upset because you heard that he was ill. And he surely was. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and on me too, not allowing me to have this sorrow on top of everything else. So I'm all the more anxious to get him back to you again, for I know how thankful you will be to see him, and that will make me happy and lighten all my cares. Welcome in the Lord with great joy and show your appreciation, for he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while trying to do for me the things you couldn't do because you were so far away. So, why did Paul bother including all of that detail from verse 19 to verse 30 in his letter to the Philippians? It wasn't like the really meaty stuff that had gone before where it talks about Jesus humbling himself, becoming a servant and dying on the cross. And wasn't that wonderful and all the fantastic things Jesus had done for us. And all the wonderful stuff we can learn from that. Here he's talking about Timothy going and Epaphroditus nearly dying and going back and forth. What's all of this about? What can we learn from these servants? So Timothy was Paul's right-hand man. The letter comes from both of them. You know, we kind of overlook that sometimes and think this is a Paul's letter. You know, this is from Paul. It's strange. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the Bible, the letters always begin with who they're from, whereas we always put it at the bottom. So that's what Paul does. But he says, my letter is from me and from Timothy. So that shows that Timothy must have been doing some fantastic stuff alongside Paul. And he says of Timothy, I've got no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. If you've actually examined yourself this morning and you think about the people in church, the people in your church, if you're here as visitors, how many of those people in the family of God have you got a genuine interest in their welfare? How many? It's hard, isn't it? Because life's really busy. And sometimes you can't go and you need someone else to go for you. But are you genuinely interested? Do we hold each other before God when we know things are going on in people's lives? Or do we say, I'll pray for you, and then you walk away and forget? You know, I talk to myself as much as to anybody else. If we know somebody's hard up, do we help them out? And I know loads of people in this church here do, and that's absolutely fantastic. But have we genuinely got an interest? So, for example, Malcolm really enjoys his music, and he used that gift to raise money for Children of Hope out in Kenya. There are practical things we can do to show a genuine interest in others. Just asking somebody. Let's not fall into the Cornish thing. So what do you go? You're right? All right? All right? You're right, Malcolm?
All right?
All right? All right? You know? And we go away, you know. And Beatrice, bless her, she would say to me, if I go up to her and say, how are you? She would say, is that a real how are you? Because if you want a real how are you, I'll really tell you how it is. But I hope you're going to listen. If you don't want to listen, you know, I'm not going to tell you. Have we got a genuine interest for others? Not just the people of God, but the people, our neighbours. You know, we have that big focus, don't we, in our newsletter every week. Something about your neighbour. Are we genuinely interested in their welfare? Or are we more interested about bashing them over the head with the Bible? I'm not saying, I don't mean that lightly, because it's really important that they know Jesus is their saviour. But if you're trying to ram the Bible down their throat and you can see they're going without and you're not prepared to help them out, what kind of love is that? Timothy's proved himself. He's been like a son to a father, Paul says, in the work of sharing the good news. So he's a leader like Paul. But he was willing to be trained up by Paul. He was like an apprentice. But it's really good. You work alongside somebody. You get to know how it is. And you get a chance to try it out. But you've got a safety net. You've got somebody with you. And then he's given a mission. And he's been given this commission to go out to Philippi and take the message for Paul and come back and tell Paul how the people are in Philippi. And he trusts Timothy to really know. And remember, Paul, all his letters are about staying firm in your faith, not getting distracted, not letting people say, oh, you really need to be circumcised if you're going to be a Christian. All those sorts of things. So you need to make sure you do X, Y, and Z. Almost like the Pharisees did. And Jesus said, that isn't the way to me. Grace is the way to me. Forgiveness is the way to me. My death on the cross is the way to God. And Paul trusts Timothy and sends him in his place. So this morning, when we think about servants, are you a Timothy? Are you in training? Are you somebody who has got genuine interest in the welfare of others? Are you willing to be taught and trained? Are you willing to undertake missions? Can you be trusted to do what you're being asked to do for God? And what about Epaphroditus? Paul says of this messenger, he's not a leader or a preacher, but he's a messenger. My brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. There's no hierarchy here. Okay, Epaphroditus isn't a preacher, but doesn't mean he ain't any good. He's an equal with Paul. He's got a job to do, and each of us has got a job to do in the kingdom of God. Paul says he's your messenger who you sent to take care of my needs. And he's distressed because you heard he was ill. He nearly died, and he longs for you, so I'm sending him home. How long was it going to take for him to go home? 6 weeks. So if you've got somebody who you really love that's gone on a journey to give a message and they're 6 weeks away from you and you've heard a rumour that he nearly died, you're going to be really worried. So Paul is sending him back. And God, he says, God has spared me more sorrow by allowing Epaphroditus to get better. And so he wants Epaphroditus to go home so that the Philippians can be glad and less anxious about him. And he says to them, when he comes back to you, welcome him, honour him, because he's risked his life for the work of Christ. So let's just ask ourselves a few questions about Epaphroditus. Do we work alongside each other in the gospel? Do we, and maybe this is you, maybe you're somebody who's really good at doing the pastoral stuff. We've got people in our church who are great at that. But anyone can go and have a cup of tea with somebody. If you've got the time, and I know some people, time is a real difficulty, but going and have a cup of tea, going and taking flowers, being alongside somebody, is that you? Can you do that? I know there are people in this church that do that. And I mentioned Malcolm, so I'll embarrass a few more people. I know, for example, Ita, she was up with Beatrice almost daily, cheering her up, looking after her, helping with things like her pension and her papers and stuff like that. And it was something Ita could do for God, which was just a wonderful thing to do. So are you an Epaphroditus? Can you do pastoral visits? Can you encourage others? Have you got practical skills? We've got people who've got fantastic practical skills in the church that do loads. But are you an Epaphroditus? And what about Paul himself? He's like a father to Timothy. He's nurtured and trained him. Are you a father in the church? Are you somebody who God is saying, I want you to nurture and train others? But he really loves the people. He really loves Epaphroditus. He says, he's my brother, my fellow worker. God spared me sorrow. It would really upset Paul had something happened to Epaphroditus. And this, I think, is amazing. Even though Paul is in prison, he's sending his two wonderful friends away. He's sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi, and he's also saying he's going to send Timothy. Do you know, I'm terrible. There's a wonderful poem that says, I know it's very wrong of me, but I'm afraid I must admit, when somebody offers friendship, I want the whole of it. And it goes on to say, I'm not sharing my friend with anybody because I want to be their friend and they've got to be my friend. It's got to be exclusive. That's not real friendship. And Paul is willing to send his friends off to sacrifice their company for the greater good of others. He's really wise as well. He knew when to release somebody from a ministry they've been given. And that's the hardest thing of all sometimes. Those of you who are in a particular ministry for God, and God has really blessed you in it, knowing when it's time to stop. Some people say, there's no such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. That's absolutely true. But God has different commissions for us at different times. Some people do it forever. Some people do it for a season, for such a time as this. So are you a Paul? Most important thing of all, have you got a servant heart? I want everybody in the church to have a look at these boxes and kind of do a 1 to 10 score in your head about where you are on these things around a servant heart. How willing are you to serve God and others? How much do you take a genuine interest in others? How trustworthy are you? Are you willing to go when others can't? Are you willing to share the people you love? Are you willing to give where there is a need? Are you willing to risk your life? If we really believe that we are going to be resurrected and be with God forever, death actually loses its sting. That's what people say, but we feel our emotions and we don't want to depart. Somebody very dear to us in our family is facing that and saying, I haven't got any fear of dying. I don't mind going to be with Jesus, but I'm going to miss you all. I'm going to miss my grandchildren growing up, all of those sorts of things. So it's a bittersweet. But if God calls you to risk your life, being in the centre of God's will is the most important thing you can do. Are you ready to do whatever God asks of you? It might be something really challenging. It might be being nobody. That sounds strange. But sometimes God sets us aside. A servant heart. As Paul said, honour him, honour Epaphroditus when he comes back to you. It says in the Bible, those who honour me, I will honour, says the Lord. But there's somebody else in the passage, and that's Jesus. And he is the servant king. It's paradox, isn't it? The victory in death, which looks like a failure. Imprisonment, but actually opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And here we have a king who is a servant. If we are serving, we are closer to the heart of God. He gave up everything for us. In Philippians it said, he made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And in the kingdom of God, what looks like defeat is victory, and what looks like failure is success. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.